We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I don't know if you guys have checked the stats. Georgia is kicking North Carolina's ass right now.
Well, that's probably Holly too, though. I mean,
yeah,
you know, we've got some influencers that are still Georgia residents.
And Chicago has moved up above Charlotte.
Man, talk to your people, yeah. Man. Talk to your people.
I hate to see it.
Yeah, you
I hate
do.
To see it.
Hey, what's your confidence level with internet for the next?
I'm using a mobile
minutes?
Hotspot.
Oh, okay, even better.
So I feel pretty good about it.
Okay, hang on a second.
Yeah.
Yo, how right. about what, Boston coming up with the comeuppance?
Yeah, Boston.
Boston
Texas,
and Nashville. Nashville,
Alabama. Alabama is making rise through the state ranks.
I put Alabama in a body bag yesterday on CSN. I don't feel bad about it, but I'm sure I'll hear about it. So fuck them.
Let's grow. Welcome in to Hand in the Dirt, a gardening podcast about football. I am Michael Felder. We also have Stephen Hartzell.
What's up, buddy? Ep 16. Crazy.
Yes. 16. I mean, listen, we're doing it, and we've got El Cerberino, a.k.a. Michael Cerber. How you doing?
Episode Trevor Lawrence, baby.
Ooh, Clemson angle. I like it. I am operating off of the mobile hotspot because my internet just decided to quit, and we are good to go. We're going to have an exciting guest later on the show, Martin Rickman from Uprock/Dive Magazine. Looking forward to talking to him. We're going to talk a little bit more fruit than we usually talk, which is going to be really fun because he's got some fruit trees out there in Cali. As you guys know, we always like to start the show with a little, we're going to start the show with a little light talk topics. And let's go first. Shout out to X Cheney AZ. Let's grow. I've got 3 raised beds that we're trying to do anything with, plus a lawn that is pretty much all clover at this point. So not exactly putting it to practice, but definitely enjoy this podcast. So thank you for the 5-star review. Folks, give us another 5-star review and give us some more 5-star review so we can continue to army crawl up the charts. But I will say this. Clover, the number one goal is to get the weeds out. Don't know your location, but you got to get the weeds out, which means you've got to spray that thing down and be ready to plant new grass. If you're going fescue, be ready to plant new grass when you get to the fall. And raised beds. Put anything in them. Just get something in there growing. Right, Hartzell?
Well, I mean, look, it's again, geographically, I don't know where my man's at, but, you know, it is summertime. So you better put something in there that's heat resistant. Otherwise,
yes.
It's going to be a it's going to be a very humbling first first experience into planting stuff into raised beds. Like, you know, it's just that time of the year where, at least, you know, where Cerber and I are in the Carolinas, like highs in the low 90s. Right. And if you want to water your plants, you better do it in the morning or you better
have
do it at sundown. Otherwise, you're not doing yourself any favors.
And I'll say morning is better than evening because evening it kind of sits and you want it to be active throughout the day. So I am strong proponent of morning watering. Another thing I'm a strong proponent of, I am incredibly, quarantine has been bad. I'm going to say this first. It's not been good. It's not been great for anyone. It's not been good for anyone, especially people that are losing their jobs on a serious level. But also, it has been, it's been bad for a thing that I love, movie theaters. But it has been good for the possible expiration of a thing that I hate, which is the Coca-Cola Freestyle machine.
Oh. Okay, elaborate here. Why do you like hate them? It?
You like them?
I like Cherry Coke.
Yeah, they, well then why wouldn't you just want a Cherry Coke thing on a regular drink machine instead of stupid... Go ahead, Felder.
Because it's very rare that you find Cherry Coke in the fountain. That's why.
We're going to go through two... There are two reasons why I hate it. Reason number one, nothing tastes right.
Okay.
Yep.
Nothing tastes right. It tastes like it's like, oh, the guy before me got Powerade and now I want a Sprite. Or I got Sprite Powerade.
Right.
Yep.
This is nasty.
It tastes a little bit like all the options.
Yeah, and it's nasty. So the drink tastes nasty, and then the machines are disgusting. To watch a child and their gross hands that are in their nose and in their pants and in their butts and all this stuff, touching, scrolling. It's disgusting to have to touch them.
By the way, shout out to my three-year-old who I have to tell constantly to get your hand out your butt, like constantly. Especially when he's talking to other adults that he doesn't know. That's like his tick. That's like his go-to. He just starts digging around back there. Here's the thing. It's not just the freestyle machines, Felder, that I'm worried about. Like, all soda fountain machines really shouldn't be open right now, right?
No, let the worker get the drink for you.
So I have a problem with this because I am a Costco member. Okay, shout out to Costco. I love you guys. It's one of the safer places that I go in COVID world, but they're still handing out empty cups and lids for the hot dog soda combo. And it doesn't make sense to me because it's like, guys, you require people to wear a mask in your store. That's great. But you're handing out cups to the soda fountain. That makes no sense at all. None.
No, it makes no sense. So I'm excited. I'm so devastated by what likely could be the death of the movie theater and the movie theater going experience. But I am also excited for the death of the Coca-Cola Freestyle machine. I don't even understand why it's not good. The soda's not good. It's not good. Like, there's something there's something really good about getting like a McDonald's Coca-Cola because it's just the Coke and it's just their special syrup. Yeah. There's something good about a movie theater. Honestly, to me, it's not even Coke. For a movie theater, it's Sprite.
Yeah.
The movie theater fountain Sprite was so good. The one that they poured for you behind the thing and then they had to dump a little out because of the fizz and they put a little bit more in and there's something good about that.
Yeah,
and
you nailed it. And the ice. Let's not forget about the ice.
And the
man.
Ice. Yeah. Ugh. And the freestyle machine completely ruined all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You and it. I don't understand these people that really like them because I think that those people are insane. So RIP freestyle. You won't exist anymore. Like, literally, I changed from when my movie theater got freestyle machines, I just started getting a bottle of water.
Man, I feel That's spoiled. It. Our movie theater still had, they were still doing it behind the counter for you.
Yeah, I'm
so
jealous.
That was nice. That was really nice. I didn't realize that there were any movie theaters that were doing the freestyle. That's bullshit.
Both of the AMCs that I frequented had the freestyle machines. When I was on the road, I went to a couple other AMCs that had the freestyle machines. It might just be an AMC thing.
Yeah, Regal seems AMC. To be.
I love AMC, man. Great movie going experience.
I worked for an old Carmike, which is now AMC back in the day, but I don't dig on AMC here because their theaters are subpar.
Dangerous?
They're subpar compared to the, I think the Grand is a Regal cinema.
That's correct.
We've got a much better deal with our Grand theater here because it's got like recliner seats with cup holders built in.
Why I hate those. I mean, if we're gonna talk movie theater, they shut down the old Twin, the Manor Twin in Charlotte, but it was the best theater. It's so good.
You don't like the reclining seats bit?
No, I don't like. I don't. I'm an active movie watcher, not passive.
What does that mean?
I sit up when I watch a movie.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I sit up. I don't lean back. And I hate the theaters that bring food in because I don't like people being in and out and in and out of the theater while I'm trying to watch a movie.
Yeah, no, that business is probably dead as well. By the way, can we give a shout out to drive-in movie theaters? Because I think if any part of the movie watching industry is on the come up, it's drive-thrus or, you know, pop-up drive-thrus where it's like this wasn't a drive-in before, but now it is. That started to kind of grow. And honestly, to make the college football connection here, I think that's something you're going to see a lot of in the fall, Felder, sneak peek, because these people aren't going to be able to go to the stadiums to watch their games. So you might have like these drive-in tailgate party viewing things going on. Just giving you a heads up on that, man.
Yeah, no, I'm speaking of things that could be on the come up. We got a potato haul from Alex Winarki sent in, and it's like he grew potatoes kind of like on his deck, on his patio or whatever. So I think I'm going to get into the potatoes growing business.
Dude, I saw those pictures, and the last picture was like the haul of the potatoes in like the bin, and it looked like an archaeologist like had just dug up some skulls. Like just at first glance, I mean, they're ugly vegetables, right? Like, we can say that.
Sure,
I mean, they're delicious.
That's what potatoes are.
Yeah, no, I understand. They're hardworking. I mean, they're like the blue-collar vegetable, one of the blue-collar vegetables. But, you know, they're not the prettiest-looking things in the world. That's all.
No, I absolutely love it. So we got another garden haul from Chad A. Chavez on Twitter. Collards, we got squash, we got zucchini. So send us photos of the haul, man. I love seeing. We got some long, it looks like a long pepper right there. You get down with long peppers? Is that
what it is on the far left there?
Yeah, I think that's a long pepper. I usually buy them from like Pete's Fresh Mart when I was still being able to do that, and they're fantastic. Like, it's just great. I think it's an Asian pepper. They're really fantastic. Some good heat depends on. It's not quite as hit or miss as shishitos. They're usually pretty hot.
Yeah.
But they're really good.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, man. A couple more things that before we start talking. Like, I got some things that we can get into. Some quick things. I found my good pruners. Coworker asked me if I had a long extension cord, like 50 foot plus. And I wasn't sure if I brought it to Chicago, if I left it in North Carolina. But while looking for it in the garage, which I ultimately did have, I found my good pruners. I had been using these like rusty, crappy, not rusty, but just like beat up tin snips to kind of prune some of my stuff, not getting the good cuts that you want. And I found my good pruners, which I thought I had left in Charlotte. And now it's off to the races, baby. We're going to be pruning left and right, going crazy. I can't wait.
What's the brand? I'm not familiar.
Fiskars.
Okay.
Fiskars.
They
also make scissors.
We got my mom some Felcos around the holidays. Yeah. They have like an orangish red handle. And okay. These are legit. But
these are like the tin snips I have. Mine are just old.
Yeah. No, these are legit. They come in a bunch of different sizes and shapes. But yeah, good stuff, man. So what are you pruning though? Because you're only growing herbs.
I've got flowers out there, geranium. So I'm cutting the dead flowers off. So I'm doing that.
Okay.
I've got it. Yeah. But the other thing is this cilantro, my cilantro, part of it has started to flower. So I've got to make a decision on if I'm going to cut that out or let it go all the way to seed and then collect the coriander seeds to replant or use as actual coriander seed, like the herb.
Saying cilantro made me think about homemade chimichurri sauce now that it's summertime and just like going crazy with the herbs on like marinades and stuff. Oh,
that's what I've been doing.
Man, I'm so excited for that. That's
what
awesome.
I've been doing, man.
I know you're not a summer guy because you don't like to sweat, but I enjoy a little sweat if it's, you know, over a grill. I'm good with that.
Oh, by the way, speaking of sweat, you brought us into... We folks, a little behind the scenes, we have a show topic, and I literally wrote mostly complaining about the air conditioning. Last week when we talked, my AC had just been replaced, correct?
Yeah, well, that day the workers were there. I don't know if it had gotten I was unsure of the status of that. Yeah.
Yeah, they were wrapping up, I think, when we were shooting, and so that was done. And then my house never got below 70, 71 over the course of the weekend. And you know that we are in the 60s household. And so I'm just sweat. It was the worst nights of sleep. I'm pouring sweat. And it was horrible. And I was like, what is wrong with this thing? They just put a new, they put an entire new unit on my roof. An entire new unit on my roof. And finally, we called them Saturday night, Sunday morning. They called back to reschedule our appointment. And they came back. They go to the roof. They go to the garage, which is where the blower is. They go to the roof. They go to the garage, the roof, the garage, the roof, the garage. I have to get some stuff done. I have to do, I think I did a podcast. And so they left while I was still in the mix of doing work. So I didn't get to talk to them at all. And my wife was outside. I come back in. I said, the house feels different. What happened? She said, oh, they took out the filter. Oh. I said, what? She said, yeah, they told me that what you should do is buy the cheapest filter, because if you buy the thicker filters, you know, the good filters that help your house, your family that has allergies, it helps keep the allergens down. If you buy those, it won't work.
I mean, you hate to see it.
That's a ductwork issue, would be my guess. If you redid the ductwork, you could probably get a better system. The airflow would be better, and you could use one of those. But because I'm sure the ductwork is original from when the place was built, like they did, those old school filters didn't exist. Are those these like new filters that are really good like that didn't exist back then, right? And now it just used to be the cheap, shitty ones, which you have to use, because we're in the same boat here. And that's what my dad or my father-in-law, who owns an HVAC company, he's like, yeah, he's like, if we redo all the duct work, he's like a dad to me. I love him. I love you, Mark.
Nice.
K&V Heating and Air in East Bend, North Carolina. You look them up there on Facebook.
Yeah, very good.
Give him a like.
Shout out.
He was like, when we redo all your duct work, then you'll be able to use those type of filters, because everything will be, it'll be efficient in such a way that'll
work. Got it. So this was, I was set to complain about this for about 45 minutes because no one else has given me such a succinct and reliable answer as you. And obviously should have went to son-in-law of the HVAC King, should have gone to you immediately. I just went to Twitter and was complaining. But at the same time, I went from a $4 filter to a 94 cent filter.
Yeah, you got that.
That's a positive here. Guys, let's do it for the heartbeats. Let's go to Hartzell's Corner, starting with Yaya.
There are no heartbeats. It's literally just family members and their burner.
I don't know. Holly felt like a heartbeat when you guys were talking owl talk. I felt a little left out.
Yeah, because we're both creepy cat people. That's why.
Yeah.
What's going on in Yaya's corner? Her garden has started to grow over the top of the like the perimeter fence. Like, it's
what are you guys using for like staking and stuff? You guys got like the things that go over the top, or are you using stakes?
Yeah, we've got the metal stakes, like the 6-foot stakes that are, you know, like that's the perimeter, and then just the green, I guess it's like the vinyl netting. My wife is unhappy with the aesthetics of it. I actually think it looks pretty clean, just because it kind of blends in. Like, here's the deal. If you've got, like, our backyard's already fenced in, all right? We don't have Bambi roaming through. So sure. I want something to keep the dogs and the cats out, because if you get a cat that gets into your garden beds, it's game over.
They're peeing all over everything, and they're ripping it up.
Yeah, peeing, shitting, the whole shebang. So it's just the green, you know, like plastic mesh netting. Yeah, so it blends in with all the other green stuff out there. The only alternative that I'm aware of is if you want to go with like a plastic or metal, you know, like hard fence. And I'm not ready to do that. I should also note that Yaya's garden has expanded by about 6 feet in width the last 2 years. So what's going to happen is wifey's going to pull something up on Wayfair and order, you know, 50 feet of garden fencing. And then next year, Yaya's going to be like, I need 8 more feet. And we're going to have to redo it. So I'm content with what I've got right now. I think it looks fine. I'm not here trying to win Martha Stewart's Garden of the Month. It's just, it's popping. Things are looking good.
It's functional.
Super functional. The corn is probably about 4 feet tall. I don't know if that's going to yield any, Like, I've never grown corn before, so this is going to be interesting. I know that corn is obviously a summer product, so I'm very curious to see how that comes along. Tomatoes are popping. Jalapenos are popping. I should say that I took a jalapeno. You can judge me all you want, Felder. I cut it up. I put it in my queso. It was delicious. Okay. The queso.
Why would
was
I
nice.
Judge you?
Because it's queso, man. White people love queso. And
I'm not a queso lover.
I know you're not. I know, but
the jalapeno being good, I love that.
Yeah, I tried to you know kind of class it up a little bit. So
you're talking about you. This is like some sort of a jarred or canned queso situation.
That's correct. Yes, correct. Yes, judge away. It is processed cheese, but I put a homegrown jalapeno in there to kind of keep it real. The Japanese beetles are coming for me. I can't stand these fuckers. They're everywhere, and the roses look great. But
what
you
are you doing for them,
dude? So here's the thing: I did the root based treatment twice. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's. I think I'm gonna have to just spray the plant, like spray the actual flowers here, because it's not enough. Or maybe these Jap beetles are just like prehistoric and have some kind of defense mechanism where they're unaffected by this. So I'm frustrated with that because I thought I had this under control in May and here we are in late June, early July, and it's starting to get sideways on me. So
yeah, you gotta get that under control.
Thank you.
You brought up roses. You have knockout roses, right?
Yeah, we have knockouts, and then we've got a couple of I think they're Cherokee roses, like the big fat ones, like the big boys. We have two of those that we relocated from the front to the backyard, and they're very happy.
So new listener Franklin Air asked about buying a new house and they move out. They move when they're about to move in and they have knockout roses. So what do you do? Like you mentioned that you try to do the systemic Japanese beetle treatment, but what else do you do for those roses? Do you do anything else?
So admittedly, man, we do not. Like, I mean, we got half of these roses from the clearance rack at Lowe's Nursery. Like my mother
out of season.
My mother-in-law loves going to the clearance rack at the nursery and basically saving plants that they've given up on. And so we planted a row of these that we bought for like $2 each. And they're thriving. I mean, they're tough. I mean, these are resilient bushes and they handle the heat really well. We don't really treat it. And maybe that's what I'm doing wrong, Felder. Maybe this needs to be more of a year-round thing where I'm giving it food and nutrition. But I've sent you pictures. I mean, they're popping.
They look great.
They
look amazing.
They're happy. But these Japanese beetles, man, I can't stand them.
Yeah, no, I'm a rose guy. My mom, growing up, my mom, and I think that's one of the earliest pictures that we posted was my mom's rose bush that's just like humongous, and there are azaleas that are huge too. But I love roses. And I also did the clearance rack thing one time where I went and bought a bunch of like perfume series roses, and I literally kept them in the house over the wintertime to be able to put them out. And it was rough. They planted them near a tree and the tree just didn't let them get any of the nutrients that they needed. So they had a rough go, but then I went back and doubled down and got what I really wanted, which were drift roses. And I'm a drift rose fan. I love a drift rose. They're shorter roses. They only get to be like 18 inches to 2 feet high.
Nice.
But they grow kind of wider. And so they make like a kind of a full carpet of roses. They're starting to intertwine and everything. And these are the ones I talked about when I deadhead, I have to cut off like 150 blooms because the blooms are only, you know, like the size of a silver dollar. But the big thing for me with roses, I do some bone meal, which is great to get them some phosphorus. I do the other thing, and I did this for my little brother has knockout roses, and this is something that I will say always. One, get goatskin gloves. If you're working with roses, get the goatskin gloves. Two, you have to get in there and cut the crossers out, the canes that cross, because you have to aerate the inside of the plant so that it grows fuller and wider. So for me, roses are sort of like a labor of love. I enjoy working with them, and they are... I mean, they're just, this is going to sound cliche, but they're freaking beautiful, man.
Yeah. I mean, you line them up in a row. Like, we got a retaining wall, and the kids early on were like, oh, I'm going to try to climb down this thing. No. plant the bushes. Now you've got a solid 20 feet of blooms, and it's I mean, it, like, here's the thing, like, you've bought and sold a house before. Or I guess you haven't sold it, you're renting it now, but like, curb appeal is a thing that when you're you know, you get into your 30s, you start thinking about what stuff needs to look like or should look like. Dude, plant a couple roses in front of your house, game over. Like, it's just instant curb appeal, man. Makes it pop.
It's great. And speaking of, I don't know if it counts as curb appeal because I think they're in the backyard, but my guy Edgar, who we talked about the full sun plants with, sent me a picture. His dad went out to Home Depot, got the lumber, built some boxes. They look great. And the other thing that looks great is his Home Depot is just better than mine. Like, he keeps showing me pictures of it. And I'm just like, you don't have, like, he's just like stomping on my, like, kicking me while I'm down right now. His Home Depot looks great. I'm not even a big Home Depot guy. I'm a Lowe's guy.
Not all Home Depots are created equal, but yes. Having lived in North Carolina now for a decade, I'm with you on the Lowe's. I'm a convert, big fan, big fan of the Lowe's. Blue vests.
They also sell Cobalt tools, which is, listen, you got a tool brand?
I don't have enough tools to be a tool brand, man.
Cobalt and Craftsman are both reliable.
Lifetime warranty.
That's what I go with. Okay. One of those. If I'm at Lowe's, I get Cobalt. If I'm anywhere else, I mean, they better have Craftsman or I'm not buying their tools.
Here's a more fun question. Who's got the shittiest tools around?
Like, store or brand?
Brand.
I mean, there's a lot of shitty tool brands out there.
There's a lot. I mean, whatever one is the cheapest probably is the worst one.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, so, the one that doesn't have a brand on it. Like, I've got some wire strippers right here on my guitar desk that, like,
no brand.
I'm like, nah, fuck that. Get out of here. Stanley is, like, okay, but also,
I like
not
Stanley.
The best.
I like Stanley for some things, especially when it's, like, the only – like, sometimes Stanley makes a tool that nobody else even stock. They don't stock another brand. It's just you have to get the Stanley one. So yep. I like Stanley, Craftsman, like you mentioned, Cobalt. My dad, I've got a Craftsman toolbox that I put my Cobalt stuff in.
I got a Cobalt toolbox. It is dope.
You got the multi-level metal one or you got the handheld?
Handheld. It's just a handheld. I would love to have just one of those big pull out, one of the huge bad boys you can sit over in the corner with all the nice drawers that it can pull out and you can lay everything flat in there.
My goodness. That would be so legit.
I know.
Hartzell, what kind of toolbox you got?
I've got one of those. The big red Craftsman. Yeah.
You got one of those?
It was a Christmas and
you don't have it filled up?
It is filled up, but it's filled up with shit like light bulbs and, you know, I mean, fucking batteries and shit.
Dude, when this is all over, I'm coming over and we're going to fix your toolbox.
Dude,
all right?
I got like a multi-pack of like lighters in there, man. I don't.
What do you have? Tool wise, because I think tools are a big part of doing lawn and garden stuff, right? Like, there's stuff that I use my drill for. One of the coolest things that I've seen, and I can't wait when I get home to do, is you can attach an auger to your drill.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And go straight through and do all your holes for your garden, which I can't wait to do. You got a ratchet set, right?
No.
Wait, come on.
I've got wrenches, I've got screwdrivers, I've got hammers. I do not have a ratchet set. I've got a drill, but it can't handle an auger. I mean, it's like a 6-volt. I mean, it's a baby drill. Admittedly, man, like I'm not Bob Vila. That ain't me. but in terms of organization, it is very well organized, and I can tell when somebody goes in there and moves shit around because I'm like, where are my scissors? Bro, I got a magnifying glass in there. Okay, that I know.
That's okay. That's a thing you should have in there, but it's not a thing you should have in there if you don't have a set of wrenches in there.
Okay, well, look, I mean, Hanukkah's coming up in a couple months, boys. You can chip in on a ratchet set.
I'm getting you a ratcheting wrench set. That's for damn sure,
dude. I had to fix I had to put a new mower belt in my John Deere last season. Okay, the mower belt just snapped, and I was watching the YouTube videos, and I was like, okay. I know what I need to do. I know what I need to get, and I feel relatively confident that I could do this. So I don't have the ratchet set that would make undoing these bolts so much faster than what I was doing with a wrench, like literally with a wrench.
Oh,
I got it on. It took hours. I mean, my knuckles were, bloody and bloody. Disgusting and cracked. And I'm thinking to myself, like, man, I should have just got a ratchet
Why
set.
Why didn't you just go get the ratchet set?
I know. Hindsight, you know?
You need three things. Wrench set, ratchet set, and then I'm a big proponent of the ratcheting wrench set. Which has the wrench on one end and the other end has a ratchet.
Yes, those are great. I'm gonna also add in screwdrivers.
Yep,
I got screwdrivers for days. Yeah, I got those.
And get you a really good utility screwdriver too. One that has multiple fittings, but a good one. Like I've got a Cobalt one of those. Don't get the cheap one at Walmart.
Not the one from IKEA. Got it. Okay, understood.
Yeah, those are great. Where you can flip out the tips and you're ready to go.
Yep.
Yes.
Thank you for not body bagging me, guys. I mean, yeah, that was relatively gentle.
We're here to help.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
But you have, like, the lawn stuff.
You got lawn stuff for days. Yeah, for sure.
So you have the lawn stuff. You get the tools. What happens if your garbage disposal breaks?
Call a guy. I don't know, man. Call Cerber's father-in-law. I mean, you know, what do you got for me? Help.
I have looked at the pricing that they charge to install a garbage disposal, and it is absurd.
How many thousands of dollars?
Not thousands, but it's okay. They want to charge you between $250 and $400 to install a garbage disposal.
Yeah. Just to install it. That's not the cost of the disposal itself as well, right?
I think it's the whole thing. Like it's $250 if you've already bought the disposal and they just install.
Yeah. $400 is that's tough if you could just do it on your own.
I've done it. I've installed so many garbage disposals in my lifetime.
That's
the
awesome.
Idea that I would pay someone to do that is genuinely insane.
Can you install a ceiling fan?
Yes.
Okay. That's a goal of mine. I've not yet reached it. I keep seeing the headlines splashing across the Winston-Salem Journal. Clemens man kills self, comma, house inflamed, comma, when fan install goes wrong.
Like that's a long headline.
That's a
really
long headline.
Did
you get my drift? You know,
like subheader.
Yeah, I'm gonna blow up my house because the wires get crossed and kaboom. Yeah.
No, they listen. It's all color coordinated.
Yeah,
I know, but I mean,
it's all color coordinated.
Risk reward. I mean, seriously.
Listen, the people that come and install your ceiling fans, while they are. Great guys.
Great guys. Good
Great
handy.
Guys. They are. It's not like they have some unattainable level of intelligence that no one else can get to. Like, you're not. You'll be fine, Hartzell.
IBEW, man. Come on. I'm just supporting my local union. That's all.
All right.
Okay. I know we've got a guest coming up, Martin Rickman, which is going to be really, really fun here in a little bit. Wanted to ask you about Father's Day before we get to Martin. Your father. Hartzell, I'm a father, obviously. What'd you get for Father's Day? Did you get any lawn stuff?
No, I got a pair of
convertible pants.
No. I already got my one pair of those. I don't need two. Earbuds, Apple buds.
AirPods.
Thank you. I was anti AirPod. I understand it now. Those things are like noise canceling. It's amazing. So anyway, I've been using those around the house. I don't like the way I look with them in, though.
How do you use them around the house?
Listen to music, man.
The kids.
Well, the kids go to bed at like 8, so I've got like 45 minutes to myself before I shut it down. You know?
Okay. Yeah. No, I get that. No. You're laughing. No, I actually get that. Like there are times, especially here in Chicago, where I'll put in my headphones. I just got a pair of cheap like JBL Jib headphones that have the cord between the headphones, but no corded to the thing. They're Bluetooth. And we will do, she is currently on her like fifth or sixth rewatch of The Wire. And I can't take it anymore. And so I will throw the headphones in and listen to a podcast.
I was laughing at the prospect of going to sleep at 8:45, not putting in headphones, not
don't judge it.
No, it's fine. I appreciate it because you're tired, man. I get it. Like, for me, I'm also a headphone at night guy because while I do not have a child, I do have a wife who is a morning person, and I'm a night owl. So I do a lot of activities on headphones after 8:30.
Yeah, it's going to be – it's yeah. And because we only have one living room, one shared, it's all shared space. That's what I do. And then I just, you know, go over there and take my shots by myself and, you know, clean the kitchen, look up what I'm going to make for dinner the next day.
What did you get for Father's Day? What was your haul?
Oh, my Father's Day came full circle, and oh my goodness. So when I was a kid, I used to spend my summers in Fayetteville, and one year my grandma got us a plain white tie and paint markers to color a Father's Day tie for our dad. And we put like a very bad drawn version of the Steelers logo because he loves the Steelers, and like him being a teacher, and like me and my mom and dad and my brother and whatever. It looked like crap. It looked terrible. And for Father's Day, but my dad had to wear it. He wore it to church that Sunday. God. Insane prospect. Crazy. But for Father's Day this year, my wife ordered from a local business a tie kit. And my two-year-old stuck stickers onto a foam tie. And it looks horrible. But I love it. And so the circle of life.
Felder, I've never seen you in a tie, much less like a dress shirt.
This is a foam tie. It's got a string around it.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. Like you don't.
Yeah, I know. And you, unless you see me at a wedding, you probably will never see me in a tie. Yeah. And all of our friends are married because we're old. So.
Yeah, dude, we've gone through those wedding seasons where it's like, bro, I've got 9 weddings this summer.
Yeah, it's too much. Literally, that's the reason why my wife and I had a 16-person wedding on December 23rd.
Oh, I got you beat.
What do you got?
Went to the courthouse.
Oh, yeah, you got me beat.
It's not a contest, but, you know.
But you won.
I mean, if
I was one of those 9 weddings that you guys didn't want to go to.
But it wasn't just weddings. It was like bachelor party, bachelor party, wedding, wedding. And I was like, this is costing me thousands of dollars. I don't have the money to pay for my own wedding.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absurd. Again, pre-coronavirus life when, you know, people could do stuff like this. Not necessarily the case in 2020 and beyond, but we digress.
Yeah, it's brutal. So, folks, we're going to stop down right here. We're going to bring in our guest, Martin Rickman. Excited to get to him. We're back. Good friend of mine. I mean, man, one of my favorite people in this industry, Martin Rickman, a guy who... There was a time, Martin, that we lived together in Charlotte, essentially, where we both lived in the same town, not lived together. We both had houses in the same town. But it's Martin Rickman, editorial director at Dime and UpRocks. Martin, how are you doing?
We almost did live together. There was a minute there where there was a chance that was going to be possible before I actually closed when you guys were saying I could live in the house. And we almost made it happen. It was going to be there in Chicago, and then, like, y'all ended up in Chicago anyway. So it's funny. And now I'm in California, so you never know from day to day. But really all you've got is, like, people, and then the rest of the story kind of, like, falls into place. So I'm hanging in there. It's a pandemic, so wearing a mask and trying to stay out of people's ways.
Yeah. One way you stay out of people's way is being out there kind of in the yard, in the nature, And so the big thing for me that's been interesting is kind of following you, both you and your girlfriend online, and looking at the fruit trees. And that's why I wanted to get you on, was this is not an area that we've talked about a ton, but I know it's kind of been almost therapeutic for you and a new experience going from North Carolina to California with respect to growing fruit that I guess kind of came with the house.
Yeah. So like we had a lemon tree in Charlotte, but it never actually produced any lemons. And we like were very, very diligent about bringing it inside when we were going to have frost days and like watering it and trying to take care of it. And it lived, like it's still out there. Britt and Miller, who runs the Now Mayo Bowl account,
we talked Duke's mayonnaise last week with Holly. It's amazing. That Duke's Mayo has a bowl game. I'm so happy for it.
They finally, if it wasn't going to be Cheerwine, it had to be Duke's. So, but yeah, we gave them that when we left Charlotte, and you know, I felt really lucky. I was looking at places down here, and you know, the first and most important thing is like, where is it going to be, and what are you going to do, and what do you want your house to be, and in California, you have to be a little less picky than you would be in other places, because just like money doesn't go very far, and I'm lucky I've got what I've got. But I walked into this backyard when they had an open house, and you know, it's understated, the patio's nice or whatever, but then you turn left and there's just like five fruit trees, and they were all, you know, pretty much ready to go. And I've never had that before. Like, you really do, it takes a lot of work and in the right climates, or it has to fit. You can't make a fruit tree fit a climate. Like, the climate dictates right. What you can and can't grow. But what's nice about them is just they're always there. They're not always fruiting. Some are. They're like mandarin trees, kind of always doing it. But they, you know, they're there for you. And as long as you kind of have this social contract with them that I'll always keep an eye on y'all, but like you guys do your thing, it feels like there's like a much deeper connection between me and this land, even though it's like, you know, in a really busy area, but it feels like there's that connection between you and nature. And when we were doing herbs and stuff, you know, it was okay. It was like relatively successful. I had basil like in the freezer that we'd kept, you know, for a couple years that was still going strong, and then I'd use the fresh basil. But this was really the only thing where I can walk right out, grab what I need and go. And you know, it's amazing every time I watch Top Chef how often they talk about this could use a little bit of acid, but like I've made that my commitment. It's like one of my three new mantras is like make sure there's always a little bit of acid. And so whether it's a lime or a lemon, or if I have to throw some orange juice into something for a marinade, it always is there. But it's ours. Like it's something that feels like it's constantly recirculating my connection to this place, but also my connection to kind of like the world that I'm in. And it's been a really amazing opportunity, and it's something I like want to keep going. Once we get the garden up and running too, you know, it's then having something that's mine on the plate, no matter what I cook, is like the end goal. And then whatever else I have to go buy is its own thing. But then there's always at least one thing, one component of a dish that is something I brought into the equation that we took care of from, you know, like seed to execution. And so that's huge for me. Like I'll never probably get farm to table. I mean, never say never, depending on what happens the next few years. But that felt like that was an important thing for me.
Yeah, no, I love that. Tell everybody what you have. Like you've hit on the mandarin, you've hit on the lime and the lemon.
Oh yeah.
tell everyone what's out there.
Yeah, it's wild. So we've only planted one, and it was because there was a space for one tree. So we planted an avocado, and it has delivered three whole avocados, but they were good. It hasn't quite made it yet. Yeah, and then. But they'll get there. I think it's like an every other season kind of thing, and we had some issues with fertilization, and we still need to like restake it and everything else. But it's alive, and it's you know, doing okay. But along the rest of that tree line, there's the mandarins, the limes, the lemons. There's a big old orange tree, and then there's also a loquat tree, which I had never had a loquat until I tried one of these. And it's like somewhere between like a peach and a plum, and their growing season for like harvest is not very long, and they're super sensitive, so you can't really they can't travel that far, but they're mostly like in Mexico and Asia, so it's like hard to get them unless you've got them at farmers markets. So they're apparently like in demand. They're like ramps basically, where like you either got them or you don't, and if you can't get them, then you just can't get them. And so those are fun because off the tree they taste great. But I haven't figured
out what do they taste like. I've never even heard of these.
Yeah, it's like it tastes like a plum, but it's like almost like a peachier texture to them. They're a wild fruit. They're really good, really mild, because they're not like too sweet or too tart. Definitely would recommend like making, maybe like jams or like tarts out of them, because I think it would be a pretty good flavor. But and then the other side, there's a guava tree and an apple tree too. And the apples are, you know, they're small, but they're totally fine, and they get the job done. So it's a nice little mix that we got. I'm trying to like daydream about doing olives or like pomegranates or something somewhere else too, but bit by bit.
Martin, yeah. It's Hartzell here. I appreciate you taking the time to join us. I'm curious, like with all these fruits, are you just out on the back porch like making craft cocktails? Because that sounds like it would be the dream.
So yeah, we definitely are doing some craft cocktails. That's a part of it that's been like wild fun too. I mean, I haven't done nearly as much as I should, but if the power in being able to basically just like only need tequila to make your own like fresh margaritas. Like I just do the very simple skinny ones. Like it's simple syrup and lime juice and like salt, but to have it be the limes that you just like throw in there on your own. It's made it a lot easier, but it also has made me like not miss bars nearly as much as I thought I would, because I'm sitting there and I can like take the care into making something. Like Felder, you know, I mean, it's one thing to have a shot in a beer, which like that's totally fine and it gets the job done. But I every once in a while just like that idea of having like the connection to making something, whether it's someone making it for me or me making it. So it's made the whole experience feel a little bit more holistic than it normally would. And it's like having oranges to make old fashions is just a wild thing. Like it's, or lemons to do like gin spritzes, or, you know, once we get rosemary back, that's going to be like a pretty consistent one again. But yeah, it's not all the time. I'm not sitting there just like totally faded on the back porch like every day, but when I have one, like it's nice to like go through the process and honor the ingredients and everything like that. I think that's been the biggest thing, is just the care and attention to the ingredients, even the ones that have nothing to do with me, has gone way up since I moved out here. And I just feel like a much deeper connection and a lot more respect for what I'm putting together, but also like what we're putting into our bodies, which I think matters a lot. I don't know that I put nearly the amount of attention or care into it a few years ago. And I think it's definitely helped my like overall worldview, but I don't know if it's helped my health. I want to say it has.
No, that's the way that I feel about taking even something just from the container garden, bringing it in. When I had the garden at home, being able to bring that in, also being able to give stuff to other people has been a real big part of it. Are you like, how do you handle, especially now, how do you handle like kind of, we can't eat all of these limes, we can't eat all these lemons. What are you doing with those?
That was like a big worry of ours too, is like wasting fruit. And we had a huge harvest when we did tree trimmings. And so I gave like probably half of what we'd harvested to our gardeners, and was pretty excited because it was like really early in quarantine, so I knew like that stuff could go far to people. But we were giving stuff away to neighbors too. We have talked about crop swaps because we've got one neighbor we really like that has peaches that we might be getting into pretty soon. But then we've also just like told people outright, if they can reach anything over the fence, just go ahead and grab it, because we're never going to run out. And even if we do, it'll come back in a few months. Like, it's not a worry for us. I'd rather people use the fruit than see it go to waste. But that was that first year I was like losing apples like mad, and guavas were hitting the ground, and I felt really frustrated about it. But I think if we can create like a neighborhood crop swap, and it's something we've talked a lot about, and I think we'll get it organized once like we have a little more lax restrictions on social distancing, I think it could be really powerful, because there's just fruit everywhere. Like there's this one avocado tree we walk by constantly, and the squirrels have been getting super fat because of it. There's this huge squirrel that was just gnawing on an entire avocado, and I'm like, I can't even reach these things. These guys clearly aren't using them, and there's like hundreds of them. So if I could like knock on their door and bring them a box of oranges or something, maybe I could come away with like 50 avocados or something. So I think it's a way to connect yourself to your neighborhood or to your neighbors too, because I definitely know more of my neighbors here than I did in Carolina. And it's not because like people in Carolina weren't friendly. It was just, I didn't have that connection. There's something so basic about, hey, do you guys want oranges? Like, we've left boxes that just say free take, and someone comes and says, they even knock on the door and they're like, can I take all of them? I'm making ceviche tonight. And I'm like, hell yeah, man. Like, that's awesome. Like, I would want the same thing for someone. If I was walking down the street and I had something going on and I'm making like a pork butt or something, and I want fresh oranges to throw in there. Yeah, like that's huge. That's one more guy now that I see, and he waves to me every time I see him because I made his day. He made ceviche during quarantine. That's awesome.
How low maintenance or high maintenance are these trees? Because it sounds like you walked into a situation where most of these were mature, ready to go.
Yeah, that's the big thing. The maintenance is super low for me, which is huge. Like, we've got the sprinklers that run a couple times a week, and then we try to water the avocado a little bit more frequently. And then I just have to make sure I fertilize it like in between seasons. If we fertilize too early, the fruit will drop, or if it's like flowering and close to developing fruit, it'll shut that down. So it's just learning when. right now, though, there's really not much that can be done other than make sure that it gets water. And I had someone in the neighborhood kind of recommend how to look out for whether or not the leaves are, you know, a certain color or they're developing color for oxidation and lack of nutrients and where they pull nutrients from. And that's like been the scientific part of it that's been helpful, is I can start to recognize patterns if they're developing ahead of time. But these trees are monsters, man. They're I'm really lucky because I haven't had to really like pay too much attention to them. They just, the trimming is important because they grow out of control. But like the oranges and lemons we had due to the rainy season in like January, February were wild. So I'm hoping that like year three, year four, it's just going to keep being that way.
I got an NBA question, Martin. Can I drop one on you?
Yeah, we can do one for sure.
All right. So like, how's this going to go down in Orlando? I'm curious to get your take just because, like, I used to buy Dime magazine back in the day, and like, that's a pretty hip magazine. Like, it's not your watered down NBA takes. So this idea of living in a bubble and, yeah, let's play a couple of regular season games and then just jump right into the playoffs. Like, how do you think this is going to go, man?
It's going to go. That's kind of all I've got. I think the NBA seems committed to doing it. I think they also are prepared that there's going to be positive tests and that it's maybe not going to go 100% the way they want it to. You know, it's funny, Robbie Callen, who, you know, is a really close mm-hmm. friend, but also, you know, one of our top writers and somebody I trust implicitly with my life and also with words. And I were talking yesterday along with Bill D, who is our, mm-hmm. you know, my deputy and an editor that, you know, I also trust and part of the team. But we're all just kind of saying it's almost better that they get these guys in one place and they can kind of keep an eye on them, because as we've seen with tennis and with golf, like the more you leave guys alone, the better a chance is that they're going to wander off and
college
and
football
hang out.
Too.
Yeah. For the college football guys, like they don't have, they all go do your thing, then come back. Well, obviously that's counterintuitive. If you keep everyone together, even if there are positive tests, they're not spreading, and then they can, you know, keep an eye on the asymptomatic guys and then reintroduce them when they're back in action and they test negative. Nothing's going to go perfectly, but I think they just feel like they're going to do this. Like once they've made the decision, you just have to be as careful and as safe as possible. And it seems like the pros and the experts around it have kind of created and signed off on this plan. Of any of the plans that have been put out there, it's probably the best one, even if it seems a little bit overcomplicated. But really, like, what we needed to do was what everybody else in Europe did, which is, like, fix it and then have sports be the reward.
Yeah.
Like, it can't be just fast-forwarding and have sports be the distraction. Like, mm-hmm. we don't need to be distracted. We need to figure this stuff out. We need to do the right thing. We haven't. And we might be past the point of no return on it. So, like, it's a moot point. But, yeah, I think short answer is it's, like, it's going to go the way it's going to go, and they're just going to have to ride it out because there's really no other choice. Like I definitely tip my hat to the dudes that have saying like, look, I can't be in one place without my family for 8 weeks, or I just can't do this, or I'm a health risk. Like, I think as long as the NBA doesn't blacklist or blackball anybody who mm-hmm. who makes that decision for the right reasons, I think they'll be okay. I don't think any one team is going to be like totally screwed by guys that aren't playing, but like, Avery Bradley can sit, and it's okay that he can sit. It's probably not going to end the Lakers' championship hopes. So, and so what, even if it did? Like, if LeBron said, I'm not doing this because I can't be with my kids for 2 months. Like, I can't imagine him ever doing that. But if he did, everyone would have to respect it because this season's so weird anyway. Like, it's not going to be the typical championship. Like, they probably shouldn't call this the Larry O'Brien Trophy. They should call it something else. They should name it after, like, David Stern or something and give this one to them because it's a one-off. Like I maybe that's the way to make people like not worry as much about it. Like it's a tournament and it still has all the DNA of what a championship would be, but these, you know, everyone keeps saying they're uncertain times. So like treat it that way. And I think as long as they do that, it'll be okay.
Okay. I am going to ask, I got two more here and then we're going to get you out of here. One, No, I know. For folks that don't know, Martin and I we're good friends. We used to go to Maverick Rock Taco. What was it, on Tuesdays, for the $2 tequila and Tecate special? Classic, classic. But I also know that you did some rehab to a house in North Carolina. What was it like trying to rehab that yard and get that fixed up? Because we've got a lot of listeners that are either new homeowners or looking to buy a home or trying to start the projects to get into the process of rehabbing it. So kind of walk people through what you did there, because we've talked a lot. It seems like we're not even going to do Dream Garden, because it seems like you have the Dream Garden when it comes to fruit.
The rest of the Dream Garden is going to come, and that's actually part of like a reno that we're putting together right now. So I don't want to waste time having to then uproot that stuff. But the one piece of advice I'll give to every homeowner on the planet, based on my own experience, is you may think bamboo is cool, but do not ever buy a house that has bamboo, and don't ever plant it. I mean, I'm seriously, like, this stuff is gnarly. It would grow up just randomly, and you'd think you'd have that stuff cut back, and then I'd be pulling shoots up from like November to February. And even once I got it going, thing would shoot up like 4 feet in like a day and a half. And you just like, there's nothing you can do. That yard is the bamboos now. It's not yours. So that's the number one. Get rid of it. Do what you need to do. Pay the money. Build the little wall underground to keep it contained if you do have it. But like, go to professionals for that, because like, you can't half-ass bamboo. That stuff, like, it's crazy how fast it moves. And so we're seeing that with like some of the like cactuses that are almost like related. You never know when it's gonna pop up or where, but it doesn't move nearly as fast as that bamboo did in the rainy season in Charlotte. That's crazy. But like, other than that, I think the big thing is just to be forgiving. If you're gonna go into these projects, you have to have a sense of humor about it, and you have to, you know that it's gonna move slower than you want it to. But the end goal is always the thing that you have to keep in mind. You're doing this because this is your space. This is, whether you're ripping out a yard, whether you're adding a bathroom, whether you're creating a garden, this is your time. It's your space. So there's no rules for when it has to get done, what it looks like, or how you get around to doing it. And even if it's not right the first time, this is why you went into home ownership. This is why you went into having your own space. Whether you moved out of an apartment, whether you've got, you know, a sill or a small stoop that you can put stuff out on, you can always change a pot. You can always repot a plant. Like, you can always do something differently if it's not working. And if it is working, sometimes it's okay to leave stuff alone. And I think that's like been some of the hardest things for me, is knowing what to tinker with and what to just let be. And that's something, like, as we explore our own journeys, like with ourselves, that's a big part of it, right? Is I know that I'm okay here. So like, I don't need to do anything about that. All right. Like, the fruit trees are going to grow and they need a little bit of maintenance. Like the orchids, like, water the orchid like once in a while, but don't look at it. Don't fret over it every day, because it doesn't want that. Like, each of these plants have personalities and they have tendencies the way that we do. And you're never going to force them to be a certain way. Like, you can't force a project to go a way you want it to. You have to let the project just kind of like drive the conversation and handle itself. And I think if anything, the relationship to nature, but the relationship to plants, whether it's succulents, whether it's fruit trees, whether it's gardens, like, certain weeds will grow out of control if you don't manage them. But like, other things you got to manage, or they won't grow at all. And it's definitely one of those things. Like, when I think about it, it's a reflection on life and on how we maintain ourselves. And it's why I'm like such a big fan of what y'all are doing, because it takes, you know, real awareness to want to do the work, and then also to separate yourself from like your day-to-day life and to put yourself into these things and say, I'm going to keep this thing alive. And even if you fail, and that's like one of the one times in our life where, even though there's like a finality to it, you can always try again. And it's that lesson of like not needing to beat yourself up forever, because you can just go get another basil plant, or you can get seeds and try it over. It's not an indictment on you if something goes wrong. Like, stuff sometimes just happens, and we need to forgive ourselves and we need to move on, but we also need to like learn from it and figure out like, okay, well, what do I do right this time? How do I make this work? And then also, like, sometimes you can do everything right and that plant just doesn't take, or it doesn't like the soil, or It just doesn't like you, and that's okay. Like, that's not the end of the world. It doesn't mean that, like, that tomato plants are evil because you didn't get good tomatoes. It just means, like, maybe you're not the one that's supposed to be growing tomatoes, and that's okay. You can still respect the tomatoes and go get great ones and then root for the people who have gardens that make awesome tomatoes. Like, I don't want to resent, you know, any of the plants that I've had or haven't had, and I don't want to resent any people for doing things their way. And so, yeah, it's not really necessarily with, like, rehabbing a yard. But the perfect example is me, like, watching what Kramer does with his grass and being like, I'm never going to have grass that looks like that. But I can be super proud of him, and I can take, like, mm-hmm. keys from him that he's doing well. But, man, like, that yard will never exist for me. So I just got to, like, look at the pictures and say, man, that's pretty.
So. Oh, I feel you on that. This has been really great, man. Like we talked about off air, talked about in G-Chat. Therapeutic even to kind of just do something that's not worried about sports every day and not beating ourselves up every day. So it's been really good to bring you into this community. And I know the listeners are going to like it. I really appreciate it. Want to get you out of here in some good time. So Martin, man, love you, brother. Thank you so much.
Dude, I mean, I just am so thankful that this is an outlet for, you know, everybody who's doing this. You know, we need those things. And you know, I'm working as hard as I can to, you know, take little cues from the world around me. And I definitely think, like, the natural world is a big part of it. Like, it's so funny. You would have talked to me 15 years ago. I would have laughed about, you know, all of the Thoreau, Walden, you know, all that golden pond stuff and everything sure. else. But now it's just, like, so critical, especially as we've been forced to slow down to take a look at that stuff and be aware. And I think that's the big thing, is like the mindfulness and the awareness. Like, we can take that into anything. Like, we can write about sports, we could be in the military, mm-hmm. we do whatever it is that we would do, but those things carry over. And I'm definitely not somebody who's gonna, you know, bash any coach for using coach speak anymore, because I think those mantras and, like, simplifying that stuff down to, like, the very, very basic elements of it are huge now. I mean, it's important to have something that's very clear. And it really is with, like, plants. It's like, you water them, you make sure everything is okay, you make sure they've got the light they need, and then you let them go. And whether it's, you know, whether it's people, whether it's athletes, whether it's anything, like, that's huge. And so I just am so appreciative you guys have started this, and it's growing, and it's got the response that it's gotten, because I'm a believer, and I'm just thankful I get to be a small part of it.
Thank you so much, man.
He's all in on Cali, bro. I mean, that's maybe he was he like that before he left?
Not. He was always as thoughtful, but I think I think his point about having to slow down was really big. Like, being in the house, and he's learning how to live with his girlfriend, like, where he's not going to the office and she's not going into work either. And they're, like, learning to be, like, together for real, because that's a huge part of it. And the trees kind of, and being a part of the community, he's been a big community guy for a long time. And that point where he didn't have that in Charlotte, like, he had it in Charlotte, but it wasn't people that lived near him. It was people who, like me, like Jonathan Jones, like other folks who were able, like, we had a really strong writing and media community. And that was kind of the community that he built in Charlotte. And now he's kind of got local community, which is really cool.
Yeah, that was awesome, man. He brought it. That was great.
Excuse me.
Oh, man.
We'll cut that out. All right, let's wrap up this show.
Hey, okay, you can bring it back. I got a question for you about the doc.
All right, 3, 2. Martin was fantastic. He's truly one of my best friends in the world. Hartzell. We got a little bit of NBA. We got a lot of fruit tree. So I really enjoyed that. And we're going to get the back end of the show done for the people.
Yeah, I asked the NBA question. I thought we were wrapping. I didn't know he had, like, another 15 minutes in him. So I apologize for the sports detour there. But this thing in Orlando that they're going to do at Disney is going to be wild. Interesting. Yeah,
it's going to be – we'll see how it works, and we'll see who participates. I think his point about maybe, you know, the asterisk about this season – is a good one, because I think that guys should feel free to opt out. And I think that's going to be the part where we'll see how that works, if guys do feel that they are truly able to opt out.
Hey, what do you think the percentage of college football players would be, if asked, that that aren't comfortable playing football this season or aren't comfortable being on campus dealing with COVID and the reality of all that stuff. Like, if you had to guess, Felder, and that's a, that's a tough question. You think one out of four would say I'm a little uneasy about it?
Yeah, until somebody on their team or somebody in their meeting room gets it, then it probably goes up to 50%. And then when the whole position group gets it, I did radio in Arkansas, and somebody brought up a really interesting point. How are you going to handle the offensive line or the quarterback room? Because if guys have to sit out 2 weeks for testing positive, and you're in a quarterback room and one guy tests positive, which means everybody else is probably going to test positive, do you just have no quarterbacks for the next 2 weeks?
Well, I mean, you can break it down to position groups. I mean, dude, you've been in a weight room. You've been in a locker room. I mean, there's nowhere to hide.
It's interesting.
Yeah, by the way,
my gym emailed me today saying that they're going to open back up. And my wife was like, I'm going onto the website to cancel our membership.
Good luck with that, by the way. You know, gyms are – canceling a gym membership is like you've got better luck trying to – you know, escape out of a jail. Like, it's not easy.
To be fair, when I signed up for the gym, I signed up for month to month.
Okay.
Instead of, they were like, you can do month to month and it'll be, you know, for my wife and I'll be $150 every month, but you can do a year contract. And guess what? It'll be $130. And I was like, $20? I'll pay $20 to be able to cancel when I want to cancel.
Yeah. No, that's awesome that you got that out, because a lot of people don't. By the way, gyms, RIP. I mean, it's been nice knowing you. I mean, let's be honest. They're done.
We are getting a Peloton in July, and that's just going to be what it is.
I mean, there's a waiting list, isn't there?
Well, I don't care. Move me to the front.
All right, very good.
Move me to the front. Whew. So, a couple other things. Got some other stuff on here. I got reminded, someone reminded me, when we were talking to Holly, right? And I was listening back to the episode, and she was talking about pit bulls, and like a pit bull mix attacked my dog when we lived in Charlotte. It's my dog's fault. It's not actually my dog's fault. My dog just isn't. He's not good, as we've established multiple times on this show. He's not good at like the dog stuff. You know, hunting, fighting, any of those things. So, but the guy, this is the part of the story that matters. The guy lived across the street from me, total deadbeat, lived with his parents and was just, and no disrespect, I lived with my mom for a long time. This is the part that I got reminded of. He showed up in the rain at our house, barefoot, to say sorry that his dog bit our dog. Step one. Step two, you take your dog in, the dog gets the first little thing and whatever, and the bill was, I don't know, whatever. We upgraded our dog insurance to cover whatever. The bill, it ended up being like $300-$400, I think, whatever, total, after we went back the second time because they didn't do it right the first time. But my man brought me $25. He wanted to be on an installment plan, and he brought me $25 that was made up of a 10, a eight ones and, or excuse me, seven ones and $3 of quarters.
Did you accept?
I didn't want to touch the money at all. It looked disgusting.
Right.
I was going through my PayPal. And I just see an invoice because I was like, let's just do this over PayPal. I don't ever want to touch the money again. I don't want to see you anymore. And there's an invoice for the installment plan, and it's just completely unpaid. I think we got 50 of the dollars, and then he just kept avoiding us.
That sucks.
Ugh,
really? That sucked. Guy? That guy avoided you?
How bad was the attack, man? I mean, was it?
It was just a dog that got loose and got aggressive, and my dog just couldn't do. Like, I was actually in my garden doing some work, and it bit my dog's back leg, and we had to do like a little drainage surgery, and then we were done.
Dude, the sound, it's been a while, thank God, knock on wood, but the sound that takes place when two dogs are, like, in a confrontation like that, not playing, I'm talking about, like, I'm going to bite you, and if I get a chance, I'm going to kill you. That to me is, like, it's frightening, one, and it can be very traumatic. But look, that's not your dog's fault, man. That's the pit bull's owner's fault.
Yeah, they're bad. Oh, he's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I mean, he tried to pay in quarters.
Yeah, that's bad. Sorry.
Gonna wrap
so
up.
So when he gave you the $25, he handed you the cash.
With the quarters.
He hands you the cash, and then was he just like, oh, and by the way, here you go. And then he like reached into his pocket and gave you $3 in loose quarters, or were they rolled? Or
no, first of all, you can't roll $3 of quarters. You have to roll $10 of quarters, that's or great. $5 of quarters.
I didn't... That's what I thought. Okay. I couldn't remember the denominations.
He handed me the money. So imagine this, right? The dollars are all laid out on his palm of his hand with the quarters on the top. 12 quarters on top. So I'm like, okay, slide it into my hand, I guess. Let's see. I got some other funny stuff. Kristen, my wife was talking to me about her middle school bully and the girl who bullied her in middle school. And then she looked her up on Facebook, and she is an adult right now that wears Champion sneakers, Champion brand sneakers.
So, look, I mean, isn't Champion one of these brands that's on the come up? Like, isn't it to come back right now?
Not their shoes.
Okay. I mean, I see Champion has, like, stores in malls now, which wasn't a thing, like, 2 years ago. Okay.
Their sweatshirts are on the come up. Their shoes are not.
Do you still have any of your old Champion basketball jerseys?
No, I don't, man.
Dude.
Yeah, I know.
Do you remember when they made the reversible ones?
Yes,
like,
I do.
Champion made the jersey where it was home and away. And reversible. Inside out. Yeah. Like,
yeah, it was great.
And then they realized, like, that's like making a tire that lasts 500,000 miles. We're going to go out of business.
We can't do this.
This is not sustainable. We'll never make another jersey again. Dude. Oh, God, I wish they brought those back. I mean...
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Okay. Those jerseys go for a lot now. They go for a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's get to Rad Dad moments of the week and get out of here. We've gone plenty of time. Rad Dad moments of the week. Hartzell, I know you're going to the mountains, which is why we're recording at the time of recording. So that is...
That's a Rad Dad moment. Yes, we're getting out of here. And I'm sure when we get there, my mother-in-law is probably going to insist on cleaning the house and disinfecting it before we walk in.
As she should.
I understand. Can I just acknowledge that one of the reasons we booked this mountain house was because they have a ping pong table in the basement?
Where are you going?
Like outside of Boone. It's like an hour and 20 minutes. It's going to be super nice. Just right up the road.
We booked the house in Banner Elk that had the pool table, the ping pong table, the hot tub, all that stuff. It was like a 7,000 square foot house.
Dude, yeah, but you had like multiple families. So you guys were.
It was my brother's family, my brother's brother-in-law's family, my brother's other brother-in-law and his girlfriend, my brother's best friend and his family, my wife, and it was huge. But the house served its purpose.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're not going anywhere for the 4th, right? Because, I mean, we're responsible, adults.
You guys going to see some bears like Ha-Ha Clinton Dix?
I hope not, because I don't have 4.2 speed like he does. So, now, just to confirm, if you see a bear in the wild, I mean, obviously, if it's a mother with cubs, get the hell out of there. But otherwise, you try to make yourself big. Right?
Yes, I was trying to explain this to Amina and Eddie on Trash and Treasure. And what, like, Ha Ha clearly scared that bear away because of the clatter that he made with the scooter. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, you run away from bears. I was like, no, you don't. You make yourself big and you make a lot of noise. It's the same as when you take the trash out in the mountains. You're supposed to be banging on stuff the whole time so that they get away from the garbage cans.
Yeah. I'm a little more worried about snakes than I am bears. I mean, bears are out there. They're just going to be, rare. But yeah, we're excited, man. We got it's going to be a getaway for a couple of nights, and
nice.
Yeah, we'll probably try to steal some plants from the property as well while we're at it. Why not?
There you go.
Maybe dig and, up a rhododendron. Who knows?
Nice rhododendron, not rhododendron.
Correct. Yeah. Well, you know, it's up 16, so you know, do better.
Yeah, we got a submitted Rad Dad moment. Kyle Shass, my son just told me he's watched Back to the Future 1 and 2 this week on his own. That he had no idea. And he just asked to watch 3 together with me. Wow. Now that's a Rad Dad moment.
3 is the one with the Wild Wild West, right? The where they go back in time, I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not a,
it. Okay.
I've seen all the Back to the Futures because I wanted to see if they were actually good, and they're not.
Wow. I mean,
no disrespect to Kyle, but I watched them. And I guess because I didn't watch them like as a kid, I watched them as an adult. They don't have any jokes in them. There's no jokes. It's sight. There are sight gags and coincidental things like, oh yeah, tell that to Nancy Reagan. And they're like, who's Nancy Reagan? That's not a joke.
Okay. That's fair.
That's not a joke. Like, I literally was watching them, and my wife was like, she's giggling when I'm watching it. I'm like, she's watching and kind of laughing and like, oh yeah, it's so funny. And then I watch them in bed, and then I would get up in the morning and rewind to specific time codes and go, is this what you think is funny? Because this isn't a joke.
My wife laughs at Geico commercials, and I'm like, come on, can we?
They have jokes.
Yeah, I know, but it concerns me that she laughs at low-hanging fruit comedy, because
that's all Back to the Future is.
I expect her to be better, because she laughs at my stuff, but that's fine. It's okay.
Hey,
did you get an Echo Dot?
Yes. Oh, that was what I was going to say. So, Rad Dad moment for me. I got an Echo Dot, and I got a Google Smart Home coming, and both of them I think are just going to have to live in the basement, apparently, because my wife hates them.
Why?
She hates the Alexa so much.
Why?
She doesn't like the idea of like talking into a thing. I was like, but she's like, it's recording us. And I was like, your phone is already doing that.
God, really? Here's
so I have it in the garage.
The your daughter will play with it though. Like she can have it play songs and stuff like that.
She has already started walking around saying, Alexa, Alexa, where's Alexa? And here's the thing. I have a coworker and a friend named Alex. I have another friend and coworker named Alexis. And then we have Alexa, and she gets the three of them completely conflated. So when I was saying stuff to Alexa, this lasted for a day and a half. When I was saying stuff to Alexa, she thought Alexis was coming and then got excited that her friend was coming. And then when we told her Alex was stopping by, who I let borrow the extension cord, she thought I was talking to Alexa and was trying to talk to Alexa. So it's a whole mix-up thing. But it's in the garage now. And so I talk to Alexa a couple times a day when I go down to the garage to take the dog out. I ask her what the weather's going to be. I make sure she updates my schedule and lets me know what my day looks like. She reads the news to me when I go in the freezer to figure out what we're going to have for dinner. So it all works.
It'll play your podcast, you know?
Yes. Oh, I did that too.
So I haven't tried it with Hand in the Dirt. I have tried it with College Sports Now, but
I did it with Hand in the Dirt and it works.
Amazing.
Amazing. So folks, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. 5-star review. We will 100% read it on the air like we've been doing consistently. Help us climb the charts. We got to climb those charts, man. We got to climb the charts.
We are climbing the charts.
We got to keep climbing.
Yeah, okay. Got it. Very good.
Yeah. So we got to keep – let's keep climbing the charts. If you've got an Alexa, tell it to play Hand in the Dirt podcast, and it will do it. And just play that pod and listen to it in your home. That's what I'm going to do later on. So thank you so much for tuning in. For Hartzell, for Serber, Michael Felder. Oh, my kid ate a buttermilk chicken biscuit.
Oh, she's a Southerner. That's great.
That was that was my Rad Dad moment. I was like, Alexis, who we've talked about now on the show, her and her mom stopped by to say hi and do some social distance, like chalk, whatever. She said, is she going to have a Chicago accent? And I was like, ooh, absolutely not. What do we know? And so my daughter redeemed herself by eating a buttermilk chicken biscuit. That's what we're leaving you on, Hartzell Serberfelder. Let's grow.